The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Greg. Welcome to our show. What a positive vibe the Raider Nation is feeling right now. Kind of questionable. Some people a little flipped out, I know. It's the way it is. We've been through it before, but you just got to chill out because there's just a lot of patience we're going to have. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit on this show. This show, actually, is show 682. All right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have welcome, Coach. Man, it's been a long, long road, at least for me, to welcome a real coach, someone I truly believe can make it happen. We're going to do the Mad Max show. Lots of speculation on Max Crosby, and, you know, I'm going to give you my opinion. Everybody's got one. Assistants, right? Who are we going to get to train the men? Who will train the men? Well, you know who's going to train the men right now is Mike McCoy. I'm just not too sure. We're going to talk a little bit about Mr. McCoy on this show. We hit the phone line. That should wrap it up. You should be excited. I'm very excited. Although, we have to keep our expectations tempered just a bit. Welcome to the Raider Nation, Clint Kubiak.
Vinny Bonsignor joins us. We get him on Wednesdays. So, Vinny, let's begin and start off with the press conference yesterday. Overall, your big picture on how Clint Kubiak presented himself to the Raider Nation.
I think he set a great tone. It felt comfortable to him being alongside some heroes of the game. He felt really comfortable. I think he set a great tone, not just for today, but moving forward with the Raiders about the hard work that needs to happen and about how it all starts with that hard work.
I thought it was unbelievable when I was made aware of the legends coming in and I knew they were bringing them there. I said, wow.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everybody and thank you for attending today's press conference. We'll begin by welcoming some Raiders legends to the dais. First, a 9-time Pro Bowl selection, Super Bowl 18 champion and Pro Football Hall of Famer, Mike Haynes. Next, a 2-time All-Pro, 4-time Pro Bowl selection, and the 2002 NFL Most Valuable Player, Rich Gannon. Next, an 8-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl 18 champion, and Pro Football Hall of Famer, Howie Long. Next, a 9-time Pro Bowler, NFL Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year, and a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Charles Woodson. Next, an NFL Rookie of the Year, Most Valuable Player, the Most Valuable Player of Super Bowl 18, the Raiders' all-time leading rusher, and a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Marcus Allen. And next, an NFL Comeback Player of the Year, a 2-time Super Bowl champion, and the most valuable player of Super Bowl 15, Jim Plunkett.
We bring in Levi Edwards. I wanted you in here for a number of reasons for this hour, but for the most part, to sit here and really dissect the press conference. Dissect everything from your unique perspective, what you wrote about it, what you saw that happened here. Let's start off with the fact that these legends were called well in advance, not the morning of. Like, get out of Santa Clara, get out of your homes, L.A., Canada, if you're Howie Long, and get to the facility. When did you get wind of that morning and know that these legends were going to be at the podium?
I did not know until I walked in.
Okay.
I swear on everything, I did not know until I walked in the building. And when I walked in, I went down to the lobby to greet Clint Kubiak, and there I go, and I see Rich Gannon and Marcus Allen. And it was kind of one of those things where the more I looked around, the more I saw, because I only got a first glance. So it was like, first I saw Rich, and I was like, okay, that's cool. And then you see Charles, and then you see Marcus Allen, and then you see, like, Mike Haynes peek out, and then you see, Howie Long peek out, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it's honestly, like, it's insane. It's very intimidating for it anybody. Is. And I think Clint Kubiak handled it really well, because God knows if I had to be up on that podium and I had to have 4 or 5 Hall of Famers, a couple of Super Bowl MVPs, a couple of NFL MVP, if I had to have them next to me while I'm taking this job, I would be scared blankless.
I didn't think of that until you just said that. Not only do you have to step up traditionally at the dais with the GM and maybe the owner. Mark Davis used to be up there. I love the fact that Mark's in the crowd now.
Yeah.
Mark has made it clear.
Cold chilling in the back.
Yeah, he's chilling in the back, and he expects the people who he's paying to run the football team to get it right and do that. So John Spytek is going to be there. But you make a great point for Kubiak. He knew the guys were there. He shook hands. He took photos with them. But he's coming through that side door and coming up those stairs and sees the Raider Avengers. Yeah. That's got to change your demeanor before you start talking with your opening statement.
Yeah, and he knew that they were going to be up there. But you walk into this building, you see them, you shake their hands, and you're being introduced as the Raiders head coach with the number one pick. And it's, you got to realize how much pressure is on him in this situation. Not just you have the number one pick, you're coming in and you're turning around a team that had the worst offense in the league last year. You're going up on this podium with your new GM and all of these guys that have won Super Bowls, been to Super Bowls with the Raiders. And they're expecting you to sit in that seat and take over. That's he handled it pretty well. But we can get into that. But I don't know how he was able to do it.
I'm glad Mark Davis wasn't on the panel up there introducing anybody. But Clint Kubiak, soft-spoken coach, but directly to it.
When I look at what he was able to say, what did you think about that term silent tape that kept going out there, silent tape? We're going to look at the silent tape. I think by mentioning what he wants to do film-wise, teamwork-wise, did he give you a clue or a couple of clues on how he's going to run this organization from a head coaching perspective?
I think when you think of the term silent tape, I think I would kind of equate it to looking at tape without numbers. And I know that still doesn't really make sense. But you're just looking at what guys are doing. You don't have a name on the back of the jersey. You don't have a number on the jersey. You're just seeing these guys and what they're able to do without any sort of prejudice, with any sort of, like, I guess, politics involved. Really just the silent tape of just being able to evaluate a team for what it is and not necessarily what it could be yet. Just you take a look at what you have now and then try to develop. And I think that that's massive, because I do think that this team has talent despite the rebuild that's about to come.
He's a coach that demands the right things. No longer will we have practices with a lot of, you know, ass grabbing and laughing. I truly believe this coach truly means we're going to work. And I think he's got the right heart for this job, and especially the experience. His father, Gary Kubiak, a quarterback, led the Broncos to Super Bowl 50 of victory. His dad is a very, very smart, a Shannon Rat assassin for sure. He knows the offense, and he has the offense, and his son knows the offense. Clint Kubiak is no stranger to football. He played football as a safety, number 20, from 2005 to 2009, Colorado State.
You played DB in college, right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
When you see the game, what lens do you see it? Do you see it from a defensive back perspective, or have you been able to change that lens?
Yeah, I think I'll always see it that way. See it from the back end, you know, when you're, you know, in the pass game wise, when you're thinking about what's going to give them problems, you know, that's kind of where I would start putting myself in that situation. Now, that's playing Mountain West football as opposed to these.
It's okay. Defense, it's okay.
These defenses that we see in the NFL is a whole different league. But I've always, you know, felt like I had it from a defensive perspective.
All right.
Yeah.
He spent many years in the coaching ranks, and finally got his just due. But I truly believe he loves this challenge, And I think he will really be a Raider for sure. I don't know if he understands what it is. I'm sure he's getting exposed. He'll be exposed to the fans soon enough. But I think his experience, his level-headedness, the fact that he is truly a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ is going to be a very good thing for us and this team. He's a leader. And I think he's a sharp, sharp guy. His offense last year was dynamic and respectable. You know, when they had an opportunity, they put points up, man, and didn't stop. And I think that's a great thing for us. The offense will be effective in punishing our AFC West competitors. I really look forward to this. I think it's a real if, though, right? If we have patience. We're going to have patience, folks, because here's what's happening. There are 10 coaches that were replaced this year. 10. It's a lot. And out of 10 coaches, there's 10 offensive coordinators. There's 10 defensive coordinators. There's quarterback coaches and line coaches and offensive and defensive line coaches. There's a lot of hats got to be thrown into that ring. So that's my only concern, is that there's a drain on the brains in the NFL. And I'm sure that Clint did his best, and I'm sure Spytek better be doing his super best to make sure we get the best candidates here. We're the last coach to be hired. That says a lot about catching up. And Kubiak's no dummy. He said so in the conference, and I'm sure he didn't want to say it as much as he wanted to say it, but he did. We hired Mike McCoy, the late head coach of the San Diego Chargeless, Nutless, Boatless Chargers. He might be a good teacher. Seems to me he might be that kind of guy. Because Clint Kubiak has got to teach this new offense to the offense. And he cannot do it by himself. He needs someone strong there next to him. And for me, the jury's out on Mike McCoy. You got to get who you can get. And at this point, we're still searching for a lot of people. I was hoping that Jim Schwartz would come over from the Browns, since he was pissed that he didn't get the head coaching job. You know, defensive coordinator is going to be a huge thing.
I spent a half hour with Robbie Leonard before the presser, and it was a good conversation, and all of it off the record. You know, right. Just talking, because I like him a lot.
Great
matter
guy.
Of fact, one of my best friends in the world that was in my wedding, his kid plays on the same Little League team as Robbie. So they were talking. They met for the first time at a practice, and we were talking about him. But he should be in consideration for everything. Several other teams around the league know how good of a coach he is. I believe he'll be a head coach in one of the cycles coming up, if not next year, the one after that. But how does this work now in the building where Clint Kubiak and John Spytek are probably going to turn over the majority of this coaching staff?
Well, there's a lot of guys that have already been dismissed. And Yes. There's so the thing is that if you are a coach and you are still in the building now, then that means that you definitely are in consideration, or that certainly means that not necessarily Clint Kubiak, but the front office, The guys like John Spytek and people who are making decisions, they really like you. They think that you're really doing quality work. And obviously, I've talked to Rob as well, and we've had our off-record conversations. And something that he did point out to me that I will mention is the fact that he does have a pretty solid relationship with Mike McDonald. And Obviously, you know, coming from that coaching tree, you know, everybody around the league knows everybody. So even though I'm not sure if Rob Leonard or Clint have a relationship, but they have worked around a lot of the same people just being in the league. So I think throughout that, then I think it would be pretty easy for them to, you know, get on good terms and kind of mesh together well from a football perspective. So I really do think that he will at one point be a very great defensive coordinator in this league.
So do I.
I'm not sure if that's going to happen right now with the Raiders or with another team, but I think Rob Leonard has I've not seen too many guys with the Raiders over the last couple of years make more lemonade with the lemons that they have.
he's a hell of a coach. I mean, he's been Max's coach, right? So with all that.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news on Valentine's Day that I think Raider Nation is going to love. The Las Vegas Raiders are hiring Rob Leonard to be their defensive coordinator. I am very, very happy for the Raiders. I am very happy for Raider Nation. And I am super happy and proud for the Rob Leonard family for getting this great opportunity. Let's face the facts here. If anybody is upset about this hiring, I personally don't think that you've paid a lot of attention to the Las Vegas Raiders over the past few years. And some people are going to look at numbers about, you know, defense. I've had a few people that watch the program say, well, Mitch, the Raiders' defensive numbers haven't been very good. I don't totally disagree with that, but if you think Rob Leonard is a Patrick Graham guy or Rob Leonard is a Pete Carroll guy or Rob Leonard is any of the other coaches, Antonio Pierce, that we've had a part of this organization, I completely disagree with you. To me, if anything, Rob Leonard's defenses remind me a lot of like what the Harbaugh, what Mike McDonald defenses look like. And, you know, he's got experience with Mike McDonald, somebody who Clint Kubiak was just with and just won a Super Bowl in Baltimore, because in 2022, Rob Leonard coached under a year for Mike McDonald. And that's when McDonald was the DC in Baltimore. And you know for a fact that the Raiders, they like that type of mentality and a defensive coordinator. They were very interested in getting Jesse Minter. Minter comes from the Baltimore, you know, Harbaugh tree. And I think for a guy like Kubiak, you got to sit back and look at this past year and you got to go, you know, the best version of me was working with somebody like Mike McDonald. And one of my favorite things that Clint Kubiak said at his press conference was he loved that Mike challenged him. And, you know, he asked him tough defensive questions because his job as the OC was to also understand what you're doing on the other side of the football. So I think when you come from that background, for Clint, it's probably a lot easier of a decision for him to make, knowing that, all right, I'm going to be the head coach of the Raiders, and I'm going to be able to work with somebody on the defensive side of the football that comes from the Mike McDonald tree.
Breaking news, everybody. The Raiders have hired a new defensive coordinator, and this absolutely changes everything when it comes to Max Crosby. But the big story about him is that he is close with Max Crosby. If you watch press conferences, you can hear Crosby refer to him as Robbie, not Rob Leonard. That's how you know you have some close camaraderie there, is when you're using nicknames for your coach. So Crosby's really close with him. He's spoken highly of him as well in the past. And a lot of people think that this hiring is a ploy to convince Max Crosby to stay with the Raiders. But I just think it's so unfair to Vegas, what's going on right now. You had Ian Rappaport talk about Crosby, his possible departure, and this caught my attention, this line here, about how the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, should do right by Crosby by letting him seek a trade. I thought this was insane. When do you hear NFL insiders sort of give their opinion and suggest what a team should do? I thought this was very unusual. Here we go.
Or two, do right by him, which, you know, certainly seems to make a lot of sense for Mark Davis to do right by one of their most loyal guys. They have plenty of time to milk and get as much draft capital as they possibly can. This is a building.
So, yeah, it's saying do right by him by letting him seek a trade. Like, do you keep Max Crosby or do you do right by him?
Able to be back. Or two, do right by him.
And I just thought that was absolutely insane to see an NFL insider suggest that the Raiders should do right by Crosby by letting him go seek a trade. Dude, these players, this is where it has gone on too long, these Crosby rumors. And at this point, it's like, dude, Max Crosby, do right by you. What have the Raiders done wrong with you? They hired the head coach Antonio Pierce that you wanted 2024 because he lets you smoke cigars in the locker room and he drives an Impala. They hired him because you wanted him to be the head coach. Then before the 2025 season under Pete Carroll, they made you the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history until Myles Garrett topped it by $5 million just a little bit later. But the Raiders have done nothing but do right by Crosby his entire career. That's how I feel. And I know I'm biased as a Raiders fan, but I just feel like time and time again, they've given him money. They've made him one of the highest paid players in the NFL. And look, you know, he's available. He's an amazing player.
he's not leading the NFL in sacks every year. He damn for sure is not leading the NFL in sacks every single year. And I mean, I don't think he's even led the NFL in sacks once in his entire career. A great player, amazing player, but the Raiders have time and time again, since he's made him one of the highest paid players in the history of the sport, while he's just top five in sacks. So hopefully this is enough now, where the Raiders have now promoted his friend to defensive coordinator. The Raiders are still trying to convince Crosby, please stay with us, please be part of our team, and let's see if he rejects it. Is he just going to just say, hey, no, this is still not good enough? Who knows? But at a certain point, I think he needs to make a commitment to Vegas openly, or just go up to the front office and request a trade. Too many mind games, too much passive-aggressive shit going on right now. We got to move forward to the offseason to see what's going on. And this is what the story is now. With Max Crosby's future uncertain in Las Vegas, worth noting that the Raiders have hired a coach whom he works with directly. As one person noted, this is from Ian Rapport as well, the one who says the Raiders should do right by Crosby by letting him seek a trade. The plot thickens. This does change things. And you had people making jokes about this, that the NFL Network is very clearly, and the Raiders, I believe the Raiders are behind this. They're trying to put it out there. Rob Leonard is close with Max Crosby, whose future remains clouded in Vegas. Hey, Crosby, you know, he's close with Rob Leonard. So the Raiders want to put this story out there that, hey, we just hired this dude's friend. We are trying everything we could possibly do to make him happy and make him stay with the Las Vegas Raiders, even though he just signed a contract extension last year to be one of the highest players in the history of the sport. That's not a quarterback. So we'll see if that convinces Crosby to stay with Vegas. I hope it's enough. And in addition to Rob Leonard, you had the Raiders hire Mike McCoy as the assistant head coach under Clint Kubiak, somebody that Kubiak's worked with in the past. Should be quite interesting. And we're going to go into the viral moment that happened last year, because last season, McCoy was the interim head coach. So he was an offensive assistant turned interim head coach for the Tennessee Titans after Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan's son, was fired. And he spent four seasons as a Los Angeles Chargers head coach, 2013-2016, worked with Philip Rivers a little bit back then, and didn't have too much success, but then was able to be the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator. Also, he was part of the Cardinals coaching staff and has bounced around the NFL for the past couple of years. Now, the connection with Clint Kubiak, though, is that Kubiak was an offensive assistant under Mike McCoy in 2017. Now, obviously, he had a bad record back then in 2017 with the Denver Broncos, but still, Kubiak was out there in Denver with McCoy, and Mike McCoy did some conservative play calling. Who knows? Maybe ownership told him, hey, let's try to not win too many games. We're trying to get a high draft pick. And that led to a viral moment where Cam Ward was yelling at Mike McCoy last year because he punted on 4th-and-3 from the 42-yard line of the Colts. So
that drive.
Yeah. He's like, let's go for it, Mike. Let's go for it, Mike. So hilarious thing to see happen there. And you had a lot of fans complaining about Mike McCoy with the Tennessee Titans last year. But hey, he was interim head coach, thrown into the role. I think he's going to be able to do a decent job helping out Clint Kubiak, who's going to be a head coach for the first time in his entire career.
But we're working on the staff. You know, I'm glad we got him as a coach. It's important. It's a new beginning. The funny thing I thought when they started asking about Mendoza in the first draft pick, he wasn't going to commit. We have to study everybody, whatever. We don't get Mendoza. It's the biggest fail in Raider history, I think. We need to get our franchise guy now and then have someone to mentor him. And I'm not thinking Derek Carr. There's a lot of scuttlebutt about that, too. I don't know where these stories come from. I guess Derek wants to play, and I say no. You had your chance. You're old. You're injured. You know, if you want to help the quarterback and be a quarterback's coach, you know, maybe that's the case. Maybe that'll work. I mean, Carr's a Christian. He's a good man. And he's been through this already. So I wouldn't mind him doing that. Depending on who we get as coaches. I mean, he might be a great thing for us because we're scraping, you know, we're the 10th hire. You know what I mean? So he's building a staff. I like to see it. We got a lot to see between now and free agency, which I'm going to dip into right now. I didn't say it, but I'm gonna. Per the experts, talking heads in the NFL, this free agency is very lean. There's not a lot of players because general managers this particular season have set themselves up to be holding on to the players that they like.
We got that soundbite quickly on Adam Schefter. This was interesting from Schefter today as he talked about this free agent class might not be great. And Schefter knows more than I do on free agency. Listen to what he said today.
What can you tell us about the 2026 free agent class?
I've had GMs, front office executives, scouts who have been looking at this free agent class and saying, not a great class. These teams have done a great job at tying up their own players long term and making sure that they don't get to free agency. When we talk about the draft, and we'll see how it shakes out over time, people aren't all that excited about the draft either. So we got a free agent class that's not real deep. We've got a draft that is not considered real deep. And you know what that tells me, Dan?
More trades?
That's what it tells me. It tells me we may get more wheeling and dealing in trades than we've had in other years. I don't know that it'll happen, but it certainly seems to be a trend in recent years. Teams have been more apt and open to make big trades. We saw it at the trade deadline each of the last few years, especially this past year. Teams are unafraid about making a big deal. And with this free agent class, in the eyes of some, considered to be a little bit subpar, and with this draft class considered to be, in the eyes of some, a little subpar, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw an uptick in trade activity.
Wow. Oh, boy. Schefter really believes that. Not a great... I care about one thing in free agency, offensive linemen. That's it. All I care about is offensive linemen in free agency.
A lot of offensive and defensive linemen have been sewn up with the teams that they have. Maybe they'll trade them, and this is what we're all thinking, is during the trade talks, there's going to be a lot of trade talk and a lot of players exchanging hands, maybe a draft pick or so. But, it's a skinny, skinny free agency. But whatever it takes, we got to get our offensive line handled and our defensive line stiffened up just a bit. Now, I know we got Malcolm Kuntz. We got a lot of guys that are starting to show up. But, you know, we got guys that we got to let go.
Levi Edwards joins us in studio. I'm trying to figure out what Kubiak, he's in a really unique spot because most of this team, I believe, and I don't have the percentages here, but a lot of this team is going to turn over.
Yeah.
Okay, John Spytek took over. He had his first draft. He kept some players. You and I talked all year about these one-year contracts, show-me contracts. I don't know all of them. I can't recite all of them. But a lot of those players are not going to be back, not because of terrible performance or poor performance. They're just going to get better players. So when Kubiak's looking out there, he's seeing a number of players. Ashton Jeanty, who we know is going to be back. Everybody else, you know, there's Max Crosby. A lot of people are popping, talking about him. But what do you think Kubiak was seeing out there, knowing that there were players in the weight room? He had coffee with Max. There were players at his press conference. And now he's going to have to put a new roster together with John Spytek.
Well, as they always say, you know, first impressions mean everything. Mm-hmm. And obviously Clint Kubiak is going to come in the building. He wants to set a standard for his team of kind of how he wants to operate. But also these players who are on the roster, whether they are on one-year deals or not, whether they are under contract or not, whether they were just rookies. I saw a lot of rookies in the building conference. I saw a lot of the 2025 draft class up center in front showing you like, hey, man, like I'm the future of this team. So that's something that I just personally noticed. And when it comes down to it, first impressions mean everything. There's a lot of guys on this team that are still fighting for their job. And especially when you have a guy that's going to watch the silent tape, as we talked about, they want to make their presence felt and they want to show you like, hey, man, like you want to build something. I'm the guy that can build it with you. And that's something that you have to be in the building. You have to shake hands. You have to set a precedence so you can kind of get off to the right foot with your new head coach.
Now I know we got Malcolm Kuntz. We got a lot of guys that are starting to show up. But, you know, we got a guys that we got to let go.
What's in the cupboard on this defense? I don't know, because some of the guys there who started on this team should not be starting under any circumstance next year. Do we all agree on that? A lot of guys who started a lot of games that will, A, not be here, or if they're here, should be pushed out potentially for a better player. This is going to be a tough question, and I know you're like an encyclopedia with this. What's left on defense? Okay, I'm talking Malcolm Kuntz, Tyree Wilson. I've seen them enough. Yeah. I like the guys. I don't know what their future looks like, but I need better players than them. I need better players in free agency and possibly the draft. What do the Raiders have in the cupboard, and what do they got to look for?
Well, this is something that I want to put a huge emphasis on because of what we just went through within free agency last year. There was a lot of really good defensive players that were on this team that left. You had guys like Robert Spillane, who I saw in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Ke'Lavon Chaisson, who I saw in the Super Bowl. Nate Hobbs, Devon Diablo. A lot of these, Trayvon Merrick on a playoff team, on an NFC South winning team. And so I say all of that to say is that when you have a good player in the building, despite whatever the record is, if you have them and you can lock them down, you have to. And with that being said, with what we have left, you have to find a way to bring back Eric Stokes.
Eric Stokes. Bam. Right out of the gate, you're going Eric Stokes as a priority.
You have to make keeping your good players a priority. And I think right now, out of the guys with expiring contracts, I believe he's either on a one-year deal or a two-year deal. He showed me that he's a guy that can continue to be a starting cornerback in this league, and the upside that he continues to have as a young player. Yeah. You have to keep him in the building some kind of way.
All right, my only pushback on that, which isn't a lot, because Spillane left right out of the as the clock struck midnight, Spillane and Merrick were gone. Merrick got well overpaid. I like Trayvon Merrick. I wish he came back to the Raiders, but not at that price. Spillane, I actually think, wanted to go play for Vrabel. I don't know all the details, but he made that clear on Radio Row at the press conferences, media night, and all that. He wanted to play for Vrabel. I have no problem with Nate Hobbs leaving. He was never available. I have no problem with Diablo. I didn't think he was a very good player. I just thought he was a player, not a very good player. I have no problem moving on. What happened to Chaisson? Chaisson was better than Malcolm Kuntz on the eyeball test. I think Malcolm had the ability to be a better player, and we were led to believe that Malcolm Kuntz was better than Chaisson. No way. I thought what Chaisson did off the edge and his football IQ was better than Malcolm Kuntz, who I was expecting a lot from and didn't see much from.
Yeah, and that's the big question around it is, it'd be different if Ke'Lavon kind of just had this season with the Patriots out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, no one was expecting this. This is a guy that had 5-6 sacks with the Raiders in the 1 year he was with the team.
Yeah.
Picked up off of waivers off the street after Jacksonville dumped him. Former first-round pick, was amazing in college at LSU. Mm. And so now he's finally starting to tap into the promise and the potential that he had. And especially for the deal that he signed with the Patriots, if you're the Raiders and you're telling me you couldn't have given him that, it's just very disheartening.
That was a miss. That was a miss because he turned out to be a really good player, and it would have been another player the Raiders don't have to look for.
Exactly.
Been another player there in regards to that. So with the older linebackers, Landon Roberts, and what we saw last year on their deals, you know better than I, are one or two of them coming back, most likely. We don't know what the process is. What does it look like?
I definitely think you should bring back at least one of them, just from the standpoint of you need veterans in that building.
Okay.
You need veterans in that room to really help the younger guys. But especially with just kind of like the modern day age of what a linebacker is supposed to be, like basically now a linebacker essentially has to be kind of like a glorified safety. And you need some guys that are going to be able to run, be able to go, be able to cover that, you know, run downhill linebacker that, you know, you grew up watching with Jack Lambert and all those guys and Derrick Brooks. That style linebacker's gone. We got to get some guys.
One more quick thing, because I saw Caillou play before all the scouts, because he played high school football with my son. So I saw Caillou before anyone in that building, including Pete Carroll.
Big John, as he calls. As he calls him.
You can't start Darian Porter and Caillou. You just can't. I mean, but they got more experience. There were Pete Carroll choices. You obviously keep them on the team. We got to get better corners than Caillou and Darian Porter, right?
Well, you got to do two things. You got to, A, go out and get better corners, and B, develop them for who they are. Because with Darian Porter, yeah. I can't speak for Kyle.
I love his upside.
Darian, he has all the athleticism in the world. He has the frame. He still has all the intangibles that's needed to be a pretty good corner. But he needs more reps, and he needs more coaching. And you really got to be able to exhaust it. You definitely got to bring in more talent. Got to bring in competition. But I think that there's still a meat on the bone with Darian that we weren't able to get last year, especially with the season that we had.
A rebuilding process is never easy on anyone, but if you have the coaching staff to help you, it'll make things a lot easier. But this is the first year in transition, folks. Let's just not get ahead of ourselves. Got a lot to do. Got a lot to see. The staff is super important. The draft is very important. Free agency is very, everything's very important. But we got to cut Kubiak a little bit of slack. First-year head coach, but he's got some years of coaching behind him. I think he's going to be just fine.
I hope you guys know I've never called a game by myself. That's something we do as a coaching staff together. You know, we plan together. We communicate on game day together. Quarterback coach, you know, pass game coordinator, run game coordinator, you know, that is a group effort. So I plan on continuing to collaborate with our coaches and making everybody a part of the game planning process. You know, it's us, how we communicate on game day will be really important.
That's Clint Kubiak from his introductory press conference. Now, that soundbite was interesting to me because he said he's never called the play, which I think what he means by that, he has, but he takes into account what the guys are saying upstairs, what his head coach, Mike McDonald, kind of wanted to see, not the exact play. And he talks about it as a team effort. I love that because it didn't work with Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll. As we're finding out, there were too many chefs in the kitchen. There was too much, okay, this, that. Chip Kelly, for whatever reason, there should be a 30 for 30 documentary. I like Chip. He's the highest paid coordinator ever. He didn't make it out of a season. So it's obvious to everybody that he wasn't on the same page with the head coach on the plays they wanted to have, let alone the personnel. And then the offensive line was so bad. The reason why the play calling never worked, no matter what they called, is they couldn't block anybody. They couldn't block basic runs. I am talking, we are running off tackle between the center and the right guard. They couldn't run that play. They were getting blown up so badly that Ashton Genty was getting hit by a linebacker or a defensive tackle who was 2 yards behind the Raiders' line of scrimmage getting their hands on Genty.
0.2 seconds. You look at all of the things where, Ashton Genty led the league in rushing yards after contact, and he led the league in, you know, being able to get certain things, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, all these things, and those aren't good stats. We shouldn't be proud of Ashton Genty being first or second in the league in broken tackles, and we shouldn't be proud of him being first or second in the league in rushing yards after contact. These are things that have to be fixed in order to have future success. And it, like you said, JT, it doesn't matter what plays you call. If you cannot block, if the quarterback, doesn't matter if it's Geno, Fernando, whoever, if they do not, Aiden O'Connell, whoever, if you do not have enough time in the pocket to let a play develop and let receivers run routes, you're just not going to be a successful offense. You're not going to be a successful football team.
Levi Edwards is in studio. Welcome him by calling in. If you want to get through anywhere around the globe, you know, the Raiders mobile app is global. Keith in London, Crusader Raider, listens every day in London on his phone.
Shout out Crusader Raider, man. That's my guy.
That's amazing.
He's a no-nonsense guy. He got right to work, and you just got to love that. I just can't wait for him to become a Raider. I think it'll start to show up later on in the season as he starts to get more comfortable with the fan base. I can't wait. I think he is, just like those signs around here that said, there's a little bit of Raider in everybody, or in all of us, and the little patch on one eye. Great campaign, but I just think that's true. And I think it is of our coach. So welcome, Coach Kubiak. The Raider Nation is pumped up and can't wait to support you in building this franchise and our new franchise quarterback, to say the very least. Will he stay or will he go? You got that song, Randy, somewhere, I know. Mad Max, is he staying? Let me talk about it.
It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine and next is black. So if you
now
want
Max
me
is
off your back, well come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Now Max is an interesting character, and the way he's chosen, because he's really smart, smartened up in his time here, 7 years here with the Raiders, about putting out the message and how to do it without getting a lot of heat. So he's saying the right things. He wants to be a Raider. He wants to stay a Raider. He said it. He meant it. He ain't going to say anything else. But someone in his sphere, someone has been leaking his true intentions. Maybe he wants to be traded. I don't know. I don't think so. He says he doesn't. But see, it's a perfect storm for him. It keeps him off the hot seat. Lets everybody else talk about the trading. Lets the executive makes all those phone calls. He might not be here next year. I hate to say that, but man, the way it sounds, it surely isn't concrete. Sounds like he wants to stay. But who knows, this 27-year-old defensive end who got a very freshly done meniscus surgery. And nowadays, like when I got a meniscus surgery, they just cut the big piece out of it and said, go forth and do well. Nowadays, they sew it together with microfibers. They use all kinds of nifty little tools to refresh it and keep it, you know, oxygenated. They got a lot of cool stuff now for these meniscus and knee injuries, especially in the NFL. So it's going to take him a while to get back on the field. He's doing his rehab. He's coming in early, leaving late, doing his deal.
Max has his own podcast. So Clay got a little bit of the Rush podcast. This was before the press conference, but I saw Max. I got there early yesterday. So Max was in the building. I don't know exactly where he was or standing or sitting for the press conference, but here's what Max Crosby said on his podcast.
He's a well-established coach. You know, obviously the success he's had, you know, it runs in the family as well. You know, he's a kid that grew up, you know, watching his dad, had a lot of success as an NFL coach. Some of those teams are some of my favorite teams to watch, yeah, with J.J. Watt and Arian Foster back in the day. Dope ass teams. But yeah, he's got a great lineage of people that he's been around. He's, you know, he runs a great system, and you know, he's had a lot of success, you know, being a coordinator. You've seen what he's done for Sam Darnold. He's maxed out, I wouldn't say maxed out, but he's brought the best out of a lot of his players, like we talked about, like getting, you know, putting players in positions to, you know, max out is their full potential, and I think he does a good job of that. So yeah, you know, it's you got to give him the credit, man. You know, nowadays in the league, there's a lot of, you know, there's always trends and things that are going on throughout. Back in the day, I feel like it was, you need the old school veteran coach, and, you know, he's got to have the experience and do it this way. And now it's like kind of moving towards the Sean McVay, Liam Cohen, Kyle Shanahan, the younger, offensive-minded.
All right, so that is a bit from the Rush podcast. So Max is in a really unique situation, and I haven't talked to him about this scenario in depth, but he played on the team that had the worst record and the number one pick. So if this was a Raider team that had the ninth pick or the 12th pick, I think the way you pitch him is differently, that we didn't have a good year last year. It wasn't a fluke, but we're going to get a lot better quickly. We're not rebuilding. We're just reloading. It's hard to have that conversation when you have the first pick overall. I think the way you have it with him is that we could really look at what the Patriots did quickly, very quickly, and we could look at what the Seahawks kind of did quickly too, but they drafted super well. But more, I would use the comparison of Denver, because I don't think very highly of Bo Nix in regards to being an elite talent.
Right.
I think he's a really good football player and really tough. Not a guy that can guarantee you Super Bowl appearances every year. I'm hoping Mendoza is better than Bo Nix, clearly better than J.J. McCarthy, better than Michael Penix. So you can stabilize Max and say, we got a guy, we're going to get up to speed very quickly. But what do you want to do with the defense? Because Patrick Graham's gone. You know, there's going to be a lot of turnover there, and that's his crew. As you know, those are the guys he works with. What do you see as Max's thought process here with this roster?
I think that, well, first and foremost, got to get a QB.
Yeah.
And I know even though it's on the offensive side of the ball, Max hasn't really had a franchise guy at that position since Derek Carr.
Yes.
Derek Carr has been gone for about 3-4 seasons now. So definitely, even though he's worried about the defense and he's worried about kind of like what his unit can do, he's got a, his mindset has to be on the fact like, okay, like we got to put up points. Like I'm over here busting my ass every play. I'm over here getting off of the field. My unit is doing what we're, you know, supposed to be doing for the most part. I need to have a guy on the other side of the field who's a dog that's going to be able to put up points and not put my unit in compromising situations. And granted, you know, you have the number one pick and everybody's definitely tapped in on Mendoza. And so for Max, you have to do some scouting. You got to figure out like, okay, what is Mendoza good at? Is this someone who I really think could be a franchise quarterback for my team going into a rebuild? So I think he has to have that conversation with himself. On top of the fact that you talk about the Denver Broncos and you talk about the Seahawks and you talk about the Patriots. These are all teams that not only just hit in the draft really well, but they were able to use the cap space, use the money that they have to be able to hit on free agents and turn things around as quickly as they did. And that's something that, you know, considering how many guys are on 1 year, 2 year deals on this defense, you got to spend some bread. It's no choice. You have no choice. You got to spend bread on the defense.
Another great thing. This is why we have Levi in here, and Levi is going to be doing more with me here as we head into the off season. What I love what you just said there is, you don't know what's going to happen at all on defense. We haven't even had a draft yet. We haven't spent any money on defensive free agency. But you said something I haven't said in the last couple of days. You and Max is under contract, so he doesn't have to be sold. I'm not saying that you have to pitch Max. He's not a free agent. He's under contract. But what I would like to say to Max, and I'll see him here at the Commitment to Excellence Awards, is this offense with Clint Kubiak better be aggressively different early. Like, I asked Coach that about up-tempo and things like that. He doesn't know me from Adam yet a little bit. This offense has got to impress Max, the defensive coordinator, the owner, the running back, the tight end. This offense has got to come in, and not like the other offenses that have taken over after coaches have been fired that said they like to do this or that. No, you didn't do it. Pete Carroll didn't do it. He was a defensive head coach. What happened with the offense with Chip Kelly getting fired? Before that, we got Norvell Turner, Bo Hardigree, right? What do we got going on? Who's calling the plays? Joe Philbin's in there. No, no, no. We got Clint Kubiak now. He's going to come in here, and he's a dog. He is a guy who's called every play. His dad's called every play. He knows how to run every Bowers type of look and Genty look at the line of scrimmage to get him off. This has got to be sold to the whole organization on the defensive side. You're going to be sitting your asses on the bench because we are going to go on 80-yard drives. We are going to go on 60-yard drives. I think that's really important, man, going forward as a pitch to Max and the others. We're going to be vastly different on offense.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, I'm when it's 3-14, everybody gets blamed.
Everybody.
But if you watch the games, there's so many times where the Raiders' defense is on the field way too long because you're going three and out, or it's a turnover, or it's a fumble, or it's something, or bad special teams. If kicks are getting blocked, punts are getting blocked. So the defense, I've just never seen a defense over the last 2 years get put in more compromising situations than I've seen the Las Vegas Raiders defense get put in the situations. And so obviously there's going to be talent that's got to be brought in. There's got to be coaches that's got to be brought in. But honestly, the defense is not necessarily in the worst shape. If you're comparing it to what we saw offensively.
Whatever Max wants to do, I'm good with it. If he wants to leave, because if he leaves here, they're not going to make him leave. He'll leave. If they come to him and say, hey, you got this much, you got to have a new contract, more money, blah, blah. I don't know. I hope not, because he's been the bright spot in a very dark place for a very long time. So I hope he stays. But if he goes, you know, I wouldn't put it past the situation to go that way either. You know, we got a lot of rebuilding to do. Young coach, no investment in Max yet, really. Talk to him, I guess. But, you know, this is when things really happen like this. So we just have to keep our ears to it, our eyes on it, and our hearts out of it, if you know what I'm saying. got to go on a little rant. What the heck are people thinking? Don't take Mendoza. Trade down for more picks. This draft sucks. The only bright thing in this draft is Mendoza. Fernando Mendoza is the draft. There's some edge rushers in there. There's some bits and pieces, but it is not the best draft for any position, especially quarterback. But, you know, the next quarterback's going to go at 25, maybe, that Alabama guy. But don't even get me started with this crap about not taking Mendoza. Indiana, the year before he got there, played okay, but they didn't play anything like they played once he got there. Listen, Penn State, he destroyed Penn State in the last quarter. Ohio State, Alabama. I know the defense was really good, but it was good last year. They needed him to make it happen, and they took him from Cal with very little talent, and they moved him to Indiana, the Hoosiers, where they had great talent, but they didn't have a quarterback. I'm telling you, all these knuckleheads talking about not taking Mendoza, if we don't take him, you know, it'll be another 25 years before we see any light at the quarterback position. And don't give me any of these has-been quarterbacks. We've been down that road. Mariota. I mean, the list is way too long.
Every Raiders starting quarterback since Rich Gannon. Kerry Collins, Marquez Tuiasosopo, Aaron Brooks, Andrew Walter, Josh McCown, Dante Culpepper, Jamarcus Russell, Bruce Gretkowski, Charlie Fry, Jason Campbell, Kyle Bowler, Carson Palmer, Terrell Pryor, Matt Flynn, Matt McGloin, Derek Carr, EJ Manuel, Jarrett Stidham, Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, Brian Hoyer, Gardner Minshew, Desmond Ridder, and Geno Smith.
But we need a franchise quarterback, and we have one here in Mendoza. He's a tough, smart guy. That's all I need to know. You can compare him to whoever you want. But he's a good, got all the stuff you need for a quarterback, 6'5", 220. You know, when he's 22 years old, he's going to gain a few pounds and some muscle and some ability once he starts to really get trained in the NFL and make calls on the line. I mean, he's got a lot to learn. But don't tell the Raiders they shouldn't pick him. I can't even. Every time I hear that on TV or on the radio, I just want to throw up in my mouth.
Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP Marcus Allen, kind enough to join us.
What's amazing with, and I love going to the backstory occasionally, Hall of Fame everything, college, NFL, Hall of Fame, one of the greatest to ever do it. But when you got recruited by John Robinson to go to USC, you were recruited as a safety. You would have been a safety mate with Ronnie Lott, who was your teammate at USC. Did you ever wonder what would have happened to your career had you stayed on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I often think about that, I thought about it a few times. Actually, I was a corner. So it would have been myself, Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith, and then I think a year later, it would have been Joey Browner. So that was the second that we envisioned, right? And so, and you know, guys, as fate would have it, John Robinson came to me and said, hey, when I got there, all the running backs were hurt, didn't have anybody to practice behind Charlie. And because I played quarterback and ran the ball in high school, they asked me to come over, and the rest is sort of history.
Wow. And I'd say it worked out incredibly well, but man, it's hard not to daydream about the secondary that you just described there. I do want to go to the Raiders now in their current iteration, though. This team right now, unfortunately, Pete Carroll, a short-lived experience there, didn't work out. They've got the number one pick in the draft, in your mind, what kind of leader do the Raiders need at their head coaching position going forward to the next iteration of this franchise?
Well, I certainly they need a, you know, a leader of men. I think that's really important. But they also need, I think, to really, really look at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I think that's really where their weaknesses are. So regardless of who you bring in the quarterback, you know, if you can't protect them, you know, it doesn't matter who that person is. He will not play well. I still think Geno is a good quarterback, but he was under siege, much like Ashton Genty, who I think is a very good running back. Yeah, I think he got tackled in the backfield more than any running back in the game this year. So they weren't very good at the line of scrimmage, and it all starts there. Wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, we get all the glory, but the guys up front are the guys that make it happen, really do. And that's on both sides of the ball. You're only as good as the people at the line of scrimmage, and they need improvement on both sides of the ball.
So if you were to build a team, and listen, the Raiders, they need a lot. If there is a supposed franchise quarterback available at the number one pick, like if people think Fernando Mendoza is that, or trade that pick, get a lot of pick and a lot of assets to fill multiple holes, which direction do you go?
Well, if I was a GM, I would go the latter direction.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
And if you can't protect him, that'll be a disaster for him. And who knows if that will be mentally detrimental to him going forward. You just don't know how people are going to respond and stuff. But if you have a good, if you're really good at the line of scrimmage, and I'm not going to ever back down from this. Yes, I gained 2,000 yards in college and stuff, but I had guys up front that made it happen. Yes. And after, you know, maybe, you know, breaking the line of scrimmage, the rest was up to me. But those guys are the guys that make things happen. You can ask every great running back. You can ask every great quarterback that has played the game. Pass protection, you know, not have to worry about, you know, the blind side, not have to worry about guys in your face is something that is such a luxury, right? And not, you know, everyone has it and stuff. But if you look at the lines that are actually playing now in the Super Bowl, very good lines. They can run the ball. They can pass block, and the quarterbacks have had time to throw the ball. But if you don't, oh man, all hell breaks loose.
Amen to that. Nobody wants to continue to live life like that in Las Vegas. No doubt about that.
There's no other choice but Mendoza in this draft. And if we don't do it, then we are more ridiculously lame than I can possibly imagine, because that should be the pick, period. And that is all I have to say about that. It's time for the bone line.
Okay, Raider fans, here we go, the bone line.
7755 Raider. 7755 Raider.
Roll the nation a bone, throw me a bone, get on there and throw your bones. If you don't like your first recording, do it 2, 3, 5 times. I don't care. We'll pick out the best one.
Don't be shy.
How could you be shy? You're a Raider fan. No, we're all loud and proud. Get on the bone line, because we got some guys shouting out right here. We got some great takes,
and here they are,
from the nation to your station.
1-7-7-5-5-Raider. 1-7-7-5-5-Raider. Get on it. Get on the bone line. Throw us a bone. And, well, we'll put you on the show for sure. Absolutely. So who's first on the bone line? And our first caller is So Says the Prez. That's right. The Prez is on the line. A class act indeed. What do you have for the nation, my brother?
And what's going on, Raider Nation? It is the Prez, and I am delighted, overjoyed, and everything else that you can describe to say to save Raider Nation happiness. So we have Kubiak on board, which is good. I'm pretty sure he's going to get his staff loaded. There's a lot of other stuff that we need to address, but in all due fairness, we can wait. We have time, but we most definitely got our man. So next up, looks like we're going to deal with Mr. Quarterback himself. We are looking for our superstar rookie to come on board with the number one draft pick. And Mendoza looks highly favorable. I hope we get him. And I would be remiss if I didn't send my deepest condolences to Nebraska Raider. I missed the last podcast due to work, and I know it's already been said, but I'm just going to say to his mom and family, our condolences. We wish you well. We will miss you, Nebraska Raider. Thank you so much for your friendship and all your nice posts and takes for the Raider Nation podcast. Also, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, and the Raider Nation, this is a very happy, optimistic prayers. I think the future might look bright after all. We got to see. We don't want to over-celebrate, but we can't help ourselves. So with that being said, so long, farewell, and let's get this ball rolling. So says the prayers. Take care.
Yeah, man, it's crazy to think that Nebraska Raider is not going to call in. It's shocking every single time I think about it. But, yeah, Randy's doing something very special for Brandon's mom. So stay tuned for that. But, Prez, well said, brother. Well said. And as far as the head coach goes, it's only the beginning, like you said. You're absolutely right. But to be happy, I'll take it. Thanks for the call, brother. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider. Right out of Wisconsin. What's going on, Cheese?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin. And, yep, we got our coach, as everybody knew. Kubiak is the man. 5-year deal. Don't know how much coin he's getting. You know, I think it's, you know, I don't know, honestly, to tell you the truth, because we've been excited about other people coming in. And within a couple of years, we want to get the pitchforks and torches out and run them out of town. Hopefully that does not happen this time. And I saw something where ESPN actually was trashing the Raiders a little bit, shocker, about their offensive line. So hopefully Kubiak and Spytek can get that offensive line fixed. And then, of course, now we go to free agency and the draft. And, oh, Mendoza, Mendoza, Mendoza. Now, Raider Greg, you said something about my comments a couple of podcasts ago, how I got on board with getting Fernando. No. What I said is, if at that time the kid from Oregon was coming out, I would have taken between the two Fernando. But we now know that the kid is going back, or he's already gone, declared, whatever. So Fernando is the only one, which gives me even more ammo to buckle down. I don't know how everyone said it, that we should trade the pick, because he is going to be the only quarterback with a first-round grade on him. The Jets may be a little dumber than the Raiders. You give the number one overall pick 2 fourth rounds for the Jets, 2 first rounds this year, 2 of their 3 next year, and then the first round the year after that. And you are completely rebuilding this team to be a force for years. You would go into next year with a heavy, rich quarterback draft with 3 first-round draft picks. That's what we need. Look at what happened in the Super Bowl. Oh, it's a snooze fest. People said, no, it was a defensive game. And like we say, defense wins championships. Cheesehead Raider, out.
Oh, no, my friend, make no mistake. I know you don't want to take Mendoza. I know you want to trade down. You didn't. You said if we had to. I mean, you know, I understand that, too. And honestly, we have to. We have to take him. We have to develop him. He is our Josh Allen. He is, you know, he is the guy. He's smart. He's big. He's strong. These are the things you want in your number one. But, you know, I understand that you don't want to. I understand you want to give the pick to the Jets so they can get Mendoza and screw him up royally. And we'll get all those picks. We'll get the twos and the ones and the twos and the threes and the... But I have a question. What the hell have we done with our ones draft picks in the past? Do we need to go over DJ Hayden? Do we need to go over the myriad of first-round flops that we have had? And there have been plenty.
This is Siri, and yes, we do need to list all of the Raiders' first-round draft flops since you've been doing this podcast. Fabian Washington, 2005. Jamarcus Russell, 2007. Darius Hayward-Bey, 2009. Rolando McClain, 2010. 2011, no first-round pick, traded for Richard Seymour. 2012, no first-round pick, traded for Carson Palmer. DJ Hayden, 2013. Amari Cooper, 2015. Carl Joseph, 2016. Garyon Conley, 2017. Jonathan Abram, 2019. Clelin Ferrell, the Ferrell Cat, 2019. Damon Arnett.
Five minutes away. Pull up, lame ass nigga. I swear to God, I will kill you, nigga. On everything I love, I will kill you, nigga.
2020. Henry Ruggs III, 2020. Alix Leatherwood, 2021. 2022. No first round pick. Traded for Davante Adams. Tyree Wilson, 2023.
I just don't trust that the first rounders we pick will be game changers. And no, it's a crapshoot no matter what. It's a crapshoot in free agency as well. I mean, in free agency, I don't want to have us pick a bunch of guys that are, you know, on the older side that just want to get their last check, like Randy Moss or Warren Sapp. Oh, hell no. None of that crap. I'm a guy that want to be here and want to get the bag for doing the job. But Mendoza's the man. I have no doubt that we could get a bunch of picks, but as far as I'm concerned, we haven't had a franchise quarterback since Derek Carr, and we will not have one until we get a pick in the top three, four in the draft next year. That means we're going to suck again.
Oh, no! We suck again!
And, my friend, I just don't see it. We got to strike where the iron is hot. We got to get the guy that we can get. The best pick in the entire draft. Any position. Any position. This is not just me saying it. The best pick in the draft at any position is Fernando Mendoza. So, I understand what you're saying. I don't agree, but we don't have to agree. We just have to see things play out. I think we have to really get a handle on the staff, and we have to have a quarterback to play next year, even if it's Geno for the year while Mendoza sits and learns. I'm good. I'm good with that because we'll get another high draft pick because we won't do the best. But we have to let this young man, like a fine bottle of wine, he has to age just a bit till we can throw him out there and start kicking the rear ends of the AFC West. I can't wait. But that is my desire. And appreciate that call, man, because it takes us all and all of our opinions to to keep all of our eyes open to all the possibilities, brother. And our next caller, straight from New Jersey, you know her. You gotta love her. Raider Tracy is in the house. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Raider Nation? Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Prez. What's going on, Raiders? This is Tracy calling from New Jersey. I hope you guys are doing well. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cold mixed in with allergies, so I'm kind of congested. But in any case, I checked out the press conference introducing Clint Kubiak. I thought it was very interesting. I like the way he presented himself. He's got some familiarity with Raider Nation and, you know, being that his father was, I believe, quarterback at the time with Broncos. So he knows a little bit about us, but it sounds like he's like taking the Raiders on as his, you know, as his. He understands and I think spoke about, you know, there being a lot of work to do, which is true. There's a lot of work to do. But he sounds like he's ready for that challenge. He sounds like a, you know, a decent guy. I don't know. I am happy. There's a lot of excitement. You know, it's kind of tough having been exposed to what's the guy, McDaniels, and kind of the way he walked in. But, you know, like you said, Ray Greg, this is different. So there's a lot to be excited about. You know, up here in the north, up here in Jersey, it's like, I guess, pretty much everywhere else in, you know, this part of the country. But it has been cold. And it has not stopped me from wearing my Raider gear. So I throw on, you know, my hat and hoodies. And I guess some people have taken notice now that we're back in the news. And, you know, might from time to time ask me a question or two about my team. But I'm hoping that everything continues on the path to drafting Mendoza. Honestly, I'm in no rush to put him in. You know, let him absorb and take in from Kubiak and wherever the OC is going to be. Let's get our defense together, especially the secondary. You know, the O-line has to recover from Brennan Carroll's mess. So, yes, we absolutely have to do some work, but there's a lot of excitement back in Raider Nation for sure. So let's, you know, Let's see how they fix the things that need to be fixed. And I'm curious to watch how Clint Kubiak leads the group. I pray that Max Crosby stays with us. And, you know, let the coaches teach. Get ready for the bandwagon jumpers. I guess there's room for everybody. And let's just say in the words of our Nebraska Raider, Brandon, God bless Raider Nation.
I like this call, you know, because it seems to me you saw the press conference kind of like me, because it wasn't like you say, McDaniels, everything was like choreographed and beautiful and wonderful, but this was a little awkward to me. Spy Tech looked a little uncomfortable. Our coach is a new guy, so he's just trying to figure his way around the building. He doesn't even know where the bathroom is. So, of course, he's a little skeptical, but I believe in his face when I said, I want to bring this team back to where it should be. It is an iconic franchise, as we've heard from other guys. I just felt it a little differently. And our assistants, you know, we got Mike McCoy. Okay. I can't get too emotional about it. The thing I think in your call that makes me more excited than anything else is other people's reaction. Are you guys going to get Mendoza? You guys should take Mendoza. You guys got a new coach. He's a pretty good guy. Well, he won a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what I'm hearing too, and I love it. I love it because it's finally not pathetic. Finally, it's not, oh, your Raiders, you know, they suck. Yeah, they do. Oh, your Raiders, it's so sad. No, I'm not sad. I'm pissed. I mean, it's nice to get some of that attention from people that know you're a Raider fan. All of a sudden, they're like, hey, man, you guys got a new coach. These are the things that I miss when we're in this debacle of losing. It's nice to be part of the conversation. Actually, it's really nice to be hated in the conversation. I love it. And someday, here I hope real soon, we'll be beating everybody down. And that, when other people hate us, that's the best. Love the call, Tracy. Thank you, honey. And our next caller, the Desert Raider. Raider Sid, that is. What you got for us, my brother?
What up, Raider Randy? Raider Greg, the Prez. Raider Nation, this is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. Okay, we got Kubiak. That's a big, big piece of the puzzle, okay? He's going to pick his staff. The next step is the draft. Let's just go get Mendoza. Let's quit fucking around. We've got Mendoza. The big thing that's worrying me right now, and a lot of people are saying it, is the O-line. Our O-line last year sucked ass. They were pieces of shit. But you know what? I'm not going to blame it all on the players. I'm going to say 75% of that issue was because of the coaching. Okay? They sucked. They couldn't identify the players. They couldn't develop a scheme. They didn't know what the fuck they were doing. Okay? So the players just kind of followed their lead, and they sucked. So everybody's talking about free agency and getting an offensive lineman, and they said the best one is this Kyle Linderbaum kid from the Ravens. And he is a badass center. He can run block with the best of them. The problem is his pass blocking sucks ass. He is horrible at pass blocking. And when I heard that, I go, what the hell? So I started watching some film on him, and I saw six different games, I think five or six different plays from six different games, and he is just getting pushed back into the quarterback's lap every single time. Power move, he cannot handle. He has no anchor. So let's not give this kid the bag if he doesn't have all the tools, all right? Besides, we have JPJ. Let's quit fucking around. Put him at center. That's where he belongs. That's where he thrives, okay? The one year he played center for us, they projected him to be one of the best centers in the league the next year. And what did we do? We fucked around. We put him at guard. Ah, damn it. All right, so let's do that. And one thing I want to talk about, you know, about Brendan Carroll. I feel a little bad for him right now, and let me explain. Put yourself in his shoes, okay? You're a young kid, and your dad gets you a job at his place of business where he's kind of a legend. He's kind of a boss. And you get this prestigious job and you start working, and right out of the gate, you just completely suck. And it gets worse and worse and worse to the point where they fire your ass. And not only do they fire your ass, they fire your dad's ass. And not only do they fire your dad's ass, they fired all of his fucking friends. So Brendan Carroll, I feel for you, dude. He must be in a shitty situation. All right, Raider Nation, this is Raider Sid. The Desert Raider, I am out.
I'm pumped about the coach. You know, I'm worried a little about the assistants, but, you know, I think we'll have better assistants than we had last year. Don't even give me Brendan Carroll.
Brennan. Brennan? Brennan.
Brendan Carroll. The offensive line studied by themselves. They didn't even invite him to their additional practices because he's not an offensive line coach. He's the son of a coach who didn't understand what the hell he was doing and didn't try to make it any better. So there you go. He had no confidence, thus they had no confidence, and our offensive line didn't do very well. But, you know, I think we got this guy, Charles Grant. I think he's a good lineman, especially when it's pass blocking. JPJ is a good center. And there are some free agents out there. We got to be smart. We can't just pick everybody up. Can't be stupid. But we got to build this thing draft-wise. I mean, we got a lot of work. Like he said, we got a lot of work. We know we got a lot of work to do. But if you don't take Mendoza with number one pick, we are stupid. Really stupid. And if we get more drafts picked for him, well, we're only going to be even more stupid because, I don't think so. But that's my opinion. Now, everybody's got their own. But, our offensive line was doing their own thing last year. You could see. I don't know how you could evaluate our line because it wasn't being coached. So they're going to have to go through that all over again. But I don't think we should just, shit can guys that didn't look good last year because they didn't get trained last year. So we have to do some really deep evaluations for real. Love the call, brother. And our next caller from Dallas, Texas. You know him. You got to love him. He's Raider Jesse James in the house. What's up, brother?
Hey, Raider Nation. We got our guy. We got the coach we wanted. We got everything we wanted. Hopefully we go out and get Mendoza now. Super stoked. Super glad. It all worked out at the end. The fact that we had our legends there at the press conference, to me, it signifies how integrated this decision was and how much of an impact it can make for us. Let's just hope for the best now. Let's have Mendoza fix that offensive line, fix that defensive line. I mean, I believe it's new age, Raider Greg. I believe it's a new age, and I think we all feel it. I'm going to give my input. This is Raider Jesse James out of Dallas. Raiders, I'm out.
Like I said, I do believe we're on the cusp of a new Raiders. I mean, we have been living on the history of Jim Plunkett and, all these guys that were there at the conference for our new coach, Kubiak. You know, most of the Raider Nation, the youngsters that talk about the good old days and the Raider Nation and, even when Rich Gannon, which was there also, we had the few years under his tutelage and we did really well. It's great to see some winning football. I expect to see that again. We got to have patience though, man. We got to have a lot of patience with this whole staff and then just roll on with it and watch the improvements. They might not be fast, but they will be improvements. Love the call, brother, as always. And last but never least, out of Albany, New York, Matty Raiders in the house. What do you got for us, my good brother?
Hey, brothers and sisters, it's Matty Raider, Albany, New York. Hey, I was just listening to call 681. Hey, like a couple other callers that had called in, I took a break as well. And I heard this news about Brandon, Nebraska Raider. And man, my heart hurts, man. I had known from the previous podcast that he was sick, but I had no idea. I'm not on any social media or anything like that. I was previously like on a text thread with some, guys from the podcast, but I just kind of took myself off that just for a break. But man, this really hurts, man. I know it's his family or whatever, but what happened, man? He's so young. Prayers to his family and his friends. God rest his soul, man. He's one of us. So, if you could just give me a little info, I'd appreciate it. God bless, guys. All the best. Things are looking up. We'll see. Kubiak, number one pick. But this hits home, man. One of our brothers.
Tragic is an understatement. Such a young kid. So full of life. Just like I've said before, life changes in a second. This can be really important on 1 second and the next, not at all. So, yeah, I'm feeling bad about Brandon. He's been part of the show for many years, man, as you know. And very sad and tragic event. But just a reminder that, we have to love everyone we love and make sure they know that every day because you just never know. So that's kind of what I want to leave here with that. Like I said, Randy's doing kind of a tribute of all his calls for his mother. We might do a show that way. We're not sure yet. He's working on it right now. But yeah, condolences for doggone sure. Very sad. And I think, gosh, just when we get our new coach, I mean, it sounds dumb, really, but he would be really excited. You guys know he would be. He'd be jazzed. Yeah, I'm going to miss Brandon's calls every show. So appreciate that, brother. Matty Raider, you're a good man. On that note, you know, there's lots of things coming up. We got free agency. We got the draft really soon after that. We got the combine coming up. Lots of stuff going on still. For us, big time excitement. For us, a lot of big changes. For us, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. So we're going to try to keep everybody locked in. I don't ask you to subscribe or hit that button because that's just not who I am. Randy and I have never been that way. But I just hope you tune in, you call in, because there's a lot happening for our team. Finally, I just think we're going to get a breath of fresh air, and it smells like a win, the autumn wind, that is, to me. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.